Hey, this is Carlos Cavallo. Welcome back. Today I want to talk to you about competitiveness or competition among women. Women have a reputation for being a bit catty with other women, whereas men typically have a competitive streak, but it's in a very specific environment. Typically, it's confined to sports and certain kinds of gaming. This is an interesting kind of notion because there's actually a bit of a paradox here. Since women are actually less competitive with each other when they're in social situations or outside of the workplace. So how do we reconcile this? How do we come to terms with this competitiveness among women? Well, competition is encouraged in guys, right? Whenever we see boys, they're encouraged to compete, to see who's better at something, but it's often seen as being very undesirable in girls. But then there's team spirit and that camaraderie that creates a certain cement that bonds men together when competition is necessary. Guys are pretty comfortable with the concept of competition, and they often see winning as being a very important part of the game. They don't usually feel too bad for others after they've had a victory, and they're still able to maintain that friendship with those that they've competed against, especially if you've ever witnessed any of the prize fights or MMA fights. On women learn that they're not supposed to be very competitive or triumph over another woman or even another man at others' expense. And a woman's competitiveness usually can't be shared openly or even really jokingly with other people. And what happens is that desire for competition that we all have, in women it becomes pushed under the surface, and sometimes it can't find its way out and becomes an unhealthy trait. What could have actually been a healthy competition between women becomes a hidden feeling of envy and desire for the other person to fail. And then, of course, we have the emotions that come after that, which are guilt and shame. Women are often attributed to the ability to be tuned in and sensitive to other people's feelings. And what happens is they project their own insecurities and their own feelings for the other person, and then they feel bad or guilty about their own successes in life. So women end up learning how to feel guilty for feeling happy and being successful, interpreting their own success as being hurtful to their friend. So what do? Well, most women will hide their accomplishments and hide their successes from any of their female friends. For example, if you were to become successful at a diet or a particular exercise regimen and you managed to lose a few pounds, would you be willing to share that with your friends? Probably not. You'd feel guilty about talking about that first, because your success somehow feels bad to the other women, and you don't want to make them feel bad. In fact, it can even go so far as to enable some self-sabotaging behaviors, like eating some high-calorie, guilty foods when you don't really want to, but since you're with a friend who's having troubles of her own with dieting and keeping her weight down, you feel obligated in some way just to make the other person feel better. The funny thing is that women don't feel this way when they're around men, because they know that men have a different kind of competitive environment or a competitive social structure. Very often, a woman doesn't have any problem being competitive with a guy because she knows she doesn't have to suffer the same consequences or even create the same kind of feelings. So what happens is that women end up competing with men more often than they probably want to, just to get that particular feeling out of their system. Women don't usually perceive guys as being as vulnerable and sensitive as women, or even being threatened by success, so they feel like they're freed up from worrying about their feelings. And again, most women do seek approval from men in some situations and will rely on guys to validate their desirability, as we do in the dating marketplace. So this dynamic of making yourself look less threatening or to be more appealing to other people is called diminishing. You diminish your own accomplishments, you diminish your own successes, simply to make yourself look more palatable, if you will, to other people, especially other women. And one of the unhealthy cycles that women can get into is this dependency on other people to help maintain her feelings of self-esteem and to create that feeling of positive self-worth. And what this does is it creates a bit of a paradox for her. It holds her back from embracing and using her own particular skills and abilities to create the success she really wants, because she's held back by that internal conflict over how other people will feel about it and how they'll react to her. And will they ostracize her, or will they call her a bitch behind her back or anything like that? Now, the interesting thing is what it creates is a feeling of ambivalence about their own strength, but it also undermines and sabotages their trust of the power that other women have. When she's uncomfortable with her own power, well, then she's going to go back and forth between holding herself back to protect a female friend and then feeling mistrustful and feeling like she's helpless facing another woman's potential power. A really good example of this is when there's a situation of an affair in a marriage where the man has an affair with another woman. The wife will very often displace her anger, her feelings of betrayal, and she'll actually displace them and point them at the other woman more than she will actually blame her own husband. So she'll hold the other woman more responsible and accountable for the situation. And she'll very often see men as being helpless to withstand these other women that are desirable. So what are some things you can do about this? What are some ways that you can enable your own competitiveness in a healthy way? First off, you want to make sure that your own self-worth, your own self-confidence is being attended to. You have to make sure that's a priority in your life. You got to focus on it, make sure it's something that you're always working on yourself, because quite frankly, not many other people will help you with that. They won't see to it that you're feeling good about yourself. Very often, you also need to make sure that your own good fortune, your own happiness, and your successes can be used to help other people, and then, of course, it becomes a source of positively enabling yourself. You've got to give yourself permission to be happy, and sometimes even unhappy, even if another person doesn't share the same emotions as you. This is, again, a very important part of relationships with men, because this boundary very often gets in the way of a healthy relationship. All too often, I coach women who feel like they can't be happy when their partner or their spouse or their boyfriend is unhappy. It's very difficult for them because they feel somehow responsible, or that they have to do something as part of that, either that nurturing edge or the accountability she has within the relationship. Now, this topic of fighting among women, if you will, or the competition among women, comes up more frequently as they've been doing more studies in psychology about how this works among women. Whenever you hear the word competitiveness, what do you think after that? Typically, you think of things like violence. Sometimes you think of aggressiveness. And guess what? You're probably also going to think of the word male or man. You're going to associate those things, including competitiveness, with guys. It's attributed to maleness and masculinity. And of course, we usually think of these traits as being directed at other guys. All of these things happen among men. You're competitive with other men. Men are competitive with other men. Men are aggressive to other guys. Men are violent to other guys. And it's even been noted in science that this happens as primarily a reproduction instinct. We have competition among guys to prove who's the alpha male, right? The guy that's on top. The guy that you should be mating with. However, they've had a bunch of studies in recent years that have actually shown pretty convincingly that this view that we've had, this traditional view of women as being very passive and not competing, is actually dead wrong. It actually turns out that women are engaged in very frequent competition with not only other women, but even men, but they also compete to find a good mate. And of course, these areas of competition typically concern those areas that are attractive to the opposite sex. What they did was they actually divided these competitive areas into two types. One is the self-promotional kind. This is where you're pumping yourself up, making yourself look better to a potential mate. And the other is what they call competitor derogation, which means typically that you're just trying to put down the other person you don't want the guy to see as being desirable. So for guys, what do? We compete over the areas that would promote our physical abilities, our strength, our competitiveness in that area, and social status, which is, of course, a very masculine trait that's very favored by women. Women tend to promote things like their youth and their physical attractiveness. Again, these are areas that are favored by guys. Men try to bring down their rivals by either insulting or putting down their economic and their physical strength. Well, women, what do? Well, they criticize the age and the appearance and the character of other women. And this intersexual competition, which is what they call it, is based around this thing called mate manipulation. Now, what mate manipulation is, it's basically trying to end the race as early as possible in your favor while you're still ahead, right? Before your competitor can possibly catch up and overtake you. I'll give you an example of this in the sexual arena. Let's say your boyfriend comes to visit you at your workplace pretty frequently, and then there's a very attractive and available coworker that joins your office in a cubicle very close to you. Now, what are you probably going to be motivated to do? You're going to be motivated to not ask him to come visit you at work anymore, right? You don't want him seeing that other woman. You don't want him seeing the competition or another person that he might run off into the sunset with, even if it is extremely unlikely. So competitor manipulating is kind of a crazy thing if you really think about it. So this bad-mouthing of competitors shows up in a lot of different areas. For example, you'll probably say something bad about that woman. Let's say your boyfriend does show up at work and meets your attractive coworker, and you know something negative about her. What do you think you're going to do? You're more likely to share that with your boyfriend in an attempt to diffuse or lower his interest or possible interest in her. Sometimes, yes, it's true, women will even lie about these situations in order to gain the upper hand. Maybe saying something about a sexually transmitted disease to impugn her sexuality and make her seem more promiscuous, things like that. So one of the first areas of female aggression, this is what it's called, female aggression, is called veiled aggression. This is veiled aggression. This is where women hide behind very clever verbal manipulation or possibly under the cover of a group trying to stay anonymous rather than come into some kind of physical confrontation. So she does it cleverly through her social wiles and her social skills. The second kind is that women very often, especially in groups and in peer groups, try to maintain a very equal and uniform level of involvement among women. In other words, they don't want any woman to stand out above the rest because she will become the prize, if you will, of the group. Any remarkably powerful or beautiful woman is typically held back in a lot of ways. Again, these are things that are covered in the book Queen Bees and Wannabes, which I highly recommend you read to find out what's really going on at the subtle level of the female social peer group. It starts out very early, like when you're in grade school even. And in extreme cases of female aggression, women actually guard against possible competitors by social exclusion or ostracizing. For example, if a really attractive woman shows up and she's brand new to the neighborhood or maybe in your exercise club or social area, many of the women will simply turn their backs on her, both metaphorically and really, trying to force her out or trying to compel her to maybe, I don't know, take her business elsewhere, go play at another gym, go work in another department. They've even done some pretty interesting scientific studies where they had T-shirts from women, younger women, who were ovulating and had pheromones and other kinds of wonderful body chemicals in them, and they had other women smell those shirts. I know, sounds kind of gross, but what happened was that the woman's testosterone levels actually jumped up when they smelled these shirts. So presumably they were getting ready to compete aggressively for other men. It's no secret that many women judge and condemn each other based on their appearance, and they're extremely critical of other women. More attractive women typically receive more hostility and less cooperation from other women because, of course, her presence is going to threaten her access to this prize male. Other studies have shown that women tend to select women as friends who are not threatening to their own relationships. In other words, most women will choose a woman who is less sexually permissive to avoid that stigma of possibly hanging around with a slut who could steal her boyfriend away. Now, of course, this all creates a very high price for women, not only on a political level, but on a social level and a physical level, because this creates so much stress and it blocks your happiness in so many different ways. Women are very sensitive to emotional information, and this has been proven through many studies as well. Women are also better at decoding very subtle social cues and social signals. And in most cases, a woman's sense of self-worth is actually based a lot more on her friends' opinions of her than anything else. combining all of these together makes women tend to be much more vulnerable to these forms of indirect aggression. So what can you do about this? Well, of course, you want to be aware at all times when these things come up. Awareness is always the first step. So watch out for other women who may not be as aware as you, and know how to place these women within your social circle. And of course, always be on the lookout for whatever it is that brings down your sense of self-worth, whatever it might be. Always work on your own feelings of self-worth, and again, keep the awareness level high so you don't fall victim to other forms of female aggression and competitiveness, whether it's in the workplace, your social circle, or in the dating marketplace. And one of the best ways you can avoid competing is to know your stuff when it comes to dating guys. When you understand the male mind, you're going to understand how to meet his needs, how to meet your own needs, and how to make those needs coexist so that you have a beautiful relationship together. This is one of the things that I've been studying for years and I wanted to bring to you. So if you want to learn more about this, I encourage you to go on over to datingadviceguru.com. That's datingadviceguru.com, all one word, datingadviceguru.com/connection code. That's connection code, also one word, where I'll show you how to connect with a guy and make him love you forever. Go on over to datingadviceguru.com/connection code. And I'll be talking again soon. This is Carlos Cavallo from datingadviceguru.com.
datingadviceguru.com, the Dating Advice Guru podcast and YouTube content, and all content herein is copyright Morpheus Productions, LLC. Feel free to contact Carlos at www.datingadviceguru.com, on the forum, or click the Ask Carlos link on the site. We welcome your comments and questions.